Hello, my name is Ozil Saw, host for Family Matters, brought to you by Manor Partner Solution, or MAPS. MAPS provides counseling through our Healthy Relations Program, as well as transition housing services, called the Phoenix House for Men. As of this fall, we are pleased to announce that there will be a second transitional housing service opening for women. Family Matters radio show discusses issues important to our northern residents and families. Thank you for joining us today. And today I'm very pleased to have as our guest, Irvin Head. Irvin Head is a Métis man of Cree and Belgian descent. He is born and raised in northern Manitoba and resides in Cranberry Portage. Irvin discovered a great passion for carving and artwork, and as others told him, great skill as well. The mediums with which he works are soapstone, alabaster, pipestone, moose antler, and diamond willow. Irvin has been asked to make and has made many gifts for the Aboriginal leaders of today and for many elders in the communities he visits. Irvin has also become widely known as a very knowledgeable but yet humble teacher. He is always willing to share what he knows. He appears as though the natural resources that Irvin works with are not being brought to life by him, but are instead bringing life to him. Irvin has shown his work internationally in Switzerland, Germany, and France, and also nationally across Canada. Irvin is the co-chairperson of the Cranberry Aboriginal Arts Committee and the co-president of the Manitoba Aboriginal Arts Council. Irvin, welcome. I'm glad to have you here.
Hey, how are you doing today, Ozzy?
Great. Irvin, I was thinking of I think we first met in the late 1990s, early 2000s, and I've gone to a few trade shows with Irvin, and as I said, I've learned a lot from just you speaking to your people who come over that have shown interest in your work. So, Irvin, tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up.
I grew up in Cranberry Portage until I was about 11 years old, and then went into the foster home system and lived up in the Flin Flon area, where I've got a lot of friends and family up there to this day. But it was sort of a leaving home experience where I never did come back until I was about 40 to Cranberry, and that's where I reside now and have a business.
Yes, for anyone that's going through Cranberry Portage, your gallery is just right on the road. It's hard to miss. So, Irvin, when did you start carving?
I started about 25, I'll say 25 years ago, but it's always been around me. For example, my father used to carve paddles, and when I watched him do that, you know, it was a very common feeling where I just sat and relaxed. And one of the things I learned from that was patience. Be able to sit and do a project is something that I enjoy nowadays, because you're not only carving, you're thinking about what you're going to do the next day. Even get rid of some of those negative feelings and just think positively.
Well, you know, Irvin, you mentioned that you were part of the foster care program, and what was your experience in there?
The experience that I had, I was very fortunate. I had a really good family in Flin Flon, and there was a lot of the young boys that came in there, and you know, we got along good, and we spent, and to this day, there's still friends, but it was a unique experience because I got to experience different culture, different ways to do things, and really sort of grew from that, knowing that there was other avenues and other things and places to go, and it was amazing. So, and that was just the start of my journey. When I was old enough, unfortunately, I quit school and went traveling and hitchhiked in cross country, and as a young boy, just sort of ended up in different places. And in Saskatchewan, I met a woman there and got married. But it was a young life, and you know, with young life, you're running into alcohol and drugs. It sort of took over my life, and you know, the carving was also an addiction after I got into it, which was a better addiction.
Yeah.
It helped me. It was my medicine. I see it as my medicine nowadays.
Yeah, so growing up, some of the challenges you had, you're saying it also helped to shape you as the artist you are today. Is that correct?
Oh, definitely. You know, the things that I used to get myself into, the binds, all those good and bad things shape you through life. And now, fortunately, I get to pass that on to not only my family, my children, but to other kids where I work in the paw here. So, and even at the gallery, when young people come in, I've got that sort of background that I can, you know, just relay to them and let them understand that, you know, there is a way out of a better way to live.
Well, I'll tell you, Irvin, I've dealt with a lot of artists over the years, June, my day job. Your carvings, they are so unique. In my mind, they're so groundbreaking. The images that you can bring forward from the soapstones and so on that you work with is just amazing. What would you say were your influences as a carver?
As an artist, growing up, I found that whenever I began to carve, I thought about the things that I used to do and the things that I wanted to do. You know, a lot of times there was peers involved. Like I'd sit and cry with my carvings, or I'd get up and do a jig because I thought of a really good memory I had. Like I say, it was my medicine, and I used it. I used it whenever I felt, you know, compelled to go have a drink or whatever. I sat down and I carved, and it calmed me. My wife, she tells me, you know, you're getting frustrated. Go carve. And, you know, it only took me 5 or 10 minutes to sit down and relax and think about the things that, you know, are bothering me. And, you know, but my children have seen that. They see that. And one of the things that I learned was to put what you feel into a carving. And there's a lot of happy thoughts. There's a lot of darkness. So I get to tell a story about each and every carving that I've done. So that, in fact, is, you know, it just relays a message. It's a teaching in itself.
I, you know, the actual carving, I find the way how you express how you deal with each carving, it seems to evolve over time. That you had mentioned that you start on a carving. First, you'd visualize what you may want in that carving, and you would start it. You may put it down for a little while, think a bit about it some more, come back to it. Is that how, is this like journey as a person's life journey? You seem to have that relationship with the carving where it evolves over a certain period of time. Is that a correct reflection on that?
Oh, definitely. A lot of times, you know, the carving, I've worked on them. I worked on a carving for 7 years. So
7 years, wow.
7 years to do one carving. Mind you, I'd work on it for a day here or a day there. But I was learning new skills. And each time that I learned a new skill, I could, you know, enhance that image, that story. So a lot of my carvings are a big part of my life where, you know, that period of time, it could be, you know, like a marriage, or, you know, especially, and when I think of that, it, when me and my wife got married, it was traditional. We were in a teepee, and it brings back, you know, the breeding of the sweet grass and all them things that I learned when I was a young person. Now I get to pass that on.
You are listening to MAPSIS Family Matters show, and right now we are having a great discussion with Urban Head, renowned Northern artist. Now, Urban, you've touched on this, but specifically, as an artist, how has your art helped you as a person in regards to challenges throughout your life?
You know, it's given me a lot of courage, because when I first began carving, I was sort of a loner. You could call me a loner, where I stuck to myself, and the only time that I would come out was when I was drinking or whatever, and that's not a life. So when I became an artist, I got to tell my story through my art, and each time I got stronger, and I could have let out a little bit more. And each day, each year that I grew as an artist, I grew as a person, and now I can sit up and talk to you know, a crowd of people. And one of the things that I learned was, you know, nothing is written down. Nothing is written down. You talk from the heart and the way you feel. It's very comforting to find and just relax and let some of this out and do it naturally, the way things were done years and years ago. Everything had a time and a place, and each year you flourish a little bit more. And I've watched people at work grow because of the surroundings that we have. We have a cultural ground. We have these teachings. It's all encompassed within the place I work, which is the Paul Family Resource Center. They have a program called the Young Wolf Pack, and it helps me instill in these young people these teachings. And if you instill in them the virtues and the values, it just becomes a stronger community.
Yeah, and you spend a lot of time with young talent and with young people. I think we all agree there's a lot of talent in the North. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you've done with young artists over the years.
You know, we've sort of opened some doors in the North where, you know, right across the North where we're starting to have galleries, we're starting to have you know, the Northern Juried Art Shows, and the young people are starting to bring their artwork out and, you know, tell their story in their way, which is very comforting. Yes, you have the internet. That opens a lot of doors. But to personally just interact with a lot of the youth and help them on their journey, because once you get into a big art show like a gallery down south, You have to have a lot of knowledge, not only skillfully to do your craft, but also personally and vocally and mentally. You have to be able to present yourself as an artist, and then comes the marketing, and you know, just the selling of the artwork is a whole different job in itself. I had to learn that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? And it's not an easy industry, and I agree with you. Just having talent is one thing, but there's a lot more things you have to deal with as an artist. It's so great to have you around to be able to help shepherd a lot of these young artists. In saying that, you know, what would you give in general, what advice would you give people in general when it comes to challenges in their lives based on how you've dealt with past barriers and challenges? What would be your advice to them?
My advice would be, you know, don't give up. Because that's one of the hardest things that I ran into when I was coming out as an artist, was a lot of, you know, sort of negative attitudes towards my artwork. And I used to sit at the table with my grandmother. She'd come with me to the shows, and we'd sit there, and people would walk right by, and you know, she'd give me a shot and with her elbow into the side of it. And she would say, "Hey, you just keep carving. You just keep doing what you love to do." And, you know, that message right there is what I tap on to the youth and to any up-and-coming artist. Don't give up. You know, there might be a lot of this, you know, you feel like you're alone, but there is a circle of artists. Once you get into that, you'll feel very comfortable, and they'll help you out, and they'll share your knowledge. It's not a secret. And there are some good artists out there that will come out and, you know, guide you and show you and hopefully encourage you to just keep on going.
Yes, and actually on the CDF website, they have an interview with Urban Ed at www.cedf.mb.ca, in which you talk a lot about your journey and talk about a lot of your past challenges, but at the same time, you talk a lot about some of the things that you do to help out the young people, help out other artists. I know you work in the PAW as well. You want to tell us a little bit about some of the stuff that you do there?
Yeah, working in the PAW here is I drive here every day, and I enjoy it. Like I say, I work for the PAW Family Resource Center. They have three or four programs. One is the Young Wolf Pack, and it's from ages 13 to 18, the Cedar Path, and they also have a Young Families program at the Kelsey Estates. So this organization that I work with is just blooming. It's growing leaps and bounds, and we're dealing with a lot of the issues nowadays with the youth, the mental health education, you know, suicide prevention, you know, problem solving, coping. That's what it's all about. Just that personal connection with the youth, it works wonders. Yes, the internet, you can get them there, but once you're sitting right across from them and they see that, you know, that this is real. And it's coming from you. You've experienced it, and it does help. So I'm very fortunate to be able to tell my story every day. And again, that's my medicine. That's how I keep growing, is to let it out. And hopefully they see that by communicating or asking for help. They'll grow too. So that drive from Cranberry to here, an hour, is sort of enjoyable because I know I'm going in the right direction.
Well, thank you, Irvin. And I just want you to tell our audience, if anyone wants to get a hold of you to come to your gallery or to visit your website, you want to give some of the information on your website and where your gallery is, the best way to contact you?
Yeah, the best way to contact me is through my phone, and it's on my website, which is www.urbanhead.ca. But like I said, I spend most of my days in the PAW here. Unfortunately, because of COVID this year, the gallery wasn't opened up. But if you ever want to come for a tour or anything, give me a call. Any up-and-coming artist that wants some advice, or if I don't have it, I'll connect you with somebody that does, that can help you and definitely help you on your journey. So, you know, it's there. It's all there. If you just get up and ask for a little bit of help, and we'll direct you in the right direction.
Great. Well, thank you again, Urban, for joining us today. And you've just been listening to another family marriage show, which airs every second Wednesday, as well as every second Monday. And I hope everyone enjoys their day. And thanks to Irv again for being our guest.